I am proud to be a Mississippian. I'm proud to be a part of Mississippi because we find so much there to do. We find that Mississippi is a rising Mississippi. The same grandfather of mine used to talk about his days during slavery and his days immediately after slavery. Why he tried to work for a better Mississippi, but being rejected in both the black and white community. And in his elder days, he would talk about his early days as a slave, and he would talk about his works in politics after the days of Reconstruction. And in his elder years, he felt that he had not done the things that he should have done because of lack of cooperation from the community. But one of the things that he would say to me as a very small boy, say, boy, stay in Mississippi. Say, one day Mississippi is going to rise again. She's going to rise to her heights and her potentials. So I will say again that I'm proud to be a part of the rise in Mississippi that my grandfather often talked about. We know by almost any statistics that we find anywhere in the United States of America or anywhere in the country, the United States is the poorest state in the nation. But we know the United States is not poor because she does not have the resources, the various things that would make her rich. But Mississippi is poor by choice, by the practices in which she has used. Now let's take, for example, the state government and the employment practices of the state of Mississippi generally sets the pattern for the rest of the economics in the state of Mississippi. Of the 21,000 state employees that we have, approximately 1% of them is of the black race. When 41% of the population of the state of Mississippi is the black people of the state of Mississippi. So as we talk here about education and economic development for the state, for black Mississippians, we do not feel that we can talk about that alone without talking about the total economic and educational picture of the state of Mississippi. And when we say the state of Mississippi, we think that this applies to the South in general. And we feel that if we can successfully improve the economic and the educational conditions in the state of Mississippi, and throughout the South, that this will in generally improve the conditions of the United States of America. About one dozen of this 1% of this 21,000 state employees, about one dozen of them are of the white, hold the white collar type jobs, while the rest of them hold custodial jobs and various jobs like that. To my knowledge, of this 21,000 that we have employed by the state of Mississippi, we do not have a single secretary or stenographer among the black race. Let us look further at the total economic picture of the state of Mississippi. About 65 to 80% of the families of Mississippi earns less than $3,000, while about 75 to 80% of the black families in Mississippi earns less than $2,000. Now, this is a very interesting situation. Sometime you might wonder, why is it that the state of Mississippi, white Mississippians, would be satisfied with earning with such low earnings? Why they would not do something about the interests of the state of Mississippi. Now, we find that Mississippi has various sections so far as cultural and economics is concerned, just as any other state in the Union. Now, for example, on the Gulf Coast, maybe in Jackson County or Harrison County in particular, where we find the earning capacity of the blacks in those counties is higher than the earning capacity of whites in various counties in North Mississippi, like Kemper County and Tate County. We find that the disparity between the incomes of the black and white community is the farthest apart in the Delta areas of Mississippi. For example, the county in which I am from, we find the widest range of income between the white and the black community there than any other particular county in Holmes County, where the white income ranges upward of $4,000 and the median black income ranges less than $1,000. But in various counties like Hancock County, down on the Gulf Coast, which quite a few factories have come in with government contracts, we find a very little difference in some of those counties between the white income and the black income. Industrialization in the state of Mississippi is of the very lowest kind. The Mississippi Economic Development Council, which is the state chamber of commerce, have said that by the year of 1975, that they are going to try to have the state of Mississippi up to the toll of to 75% of the toll of the national average. But if Mississippi is to do this, she must change her present patterns. Here in the past, she has not been interested in interest coming in, because if interest would come in, this would do away with the cheap labor in which the white community or the power structure would be able to get. And the interest is that did come in, they would force them to pay a very low rate, a minimal wage. I feel that if interest is come into Mississippi, controlled by the power structure, that we are going to have organized labor, our unionism, to cope with the situation, to make sure that fair employment practices are followed. But this has been one of the things that the state government, as well as local governments in the state of Mississippi, have worked against 100%. And we know that in the North, not even to mention the South, that no employer is going to automatically raise the wages of an employee if he does not have to do it. Now, we could not talk about Mississippi with the economics of Mississippi without talking about the agricultural aspect of the state. Well, as you know, Mississippi once has been an agricultural state, but now agricultural is more or less going off of the scene. Due to the federal subsidy programs that we have, the example that pays large plantation owners not to plant cotton, for example, the family of Jimmy Eastland gets about $125,000 per year not to plant various crops. Well, this has driven the small farmers out of business because they cannot afford to make a living in the old fashions of agriculture as they once have been in the past. But myself, along with other concerned Mississippians, still see the need for a diversified type of agriculture within the state of Mississippi. For example, in Holmes County and throughout the Delta area of Mississippi, we do have individuals that own farmland, and we do have a surplus of labor. Some of the things that look bright for the state of Mississippi and which people can make a decent living off is trucking crops. And in many sections of the Delta, we find that individuals are going to trucking crops. They are building processing plants right there, and they are coming out with a finished product, and they are able to pay people a decent wage. We find other things, for example, a project that we have in Holmes County. Rather, the headquarters are in Holmes County, but it is the Mississippi Beef Cow Project. Well, why not we cannot go into that project for black Mississippians that are unemployed and having to leave Mississippi? The demand for beef throughout the United States of America is up here, and the supply is down here. We have the climatic conditions in the state of Mississippi, that is the rainfall, the pastures for the winter, and why not we cannot go into the beef cow raising and make this a success in the state of Mississippi. We are presently operating in three counties now, and it looks like we will expand, and in the very near future when we are funded again, that we will be in operation in at least a dozen counties throughout the state of Mississippi. So we might say that one of the things that has been responsible for the economic conditions in the state of Mississippi has been the results of weak developmental services. The government agencies on the state level and on the local level have not really tried to do anything about economic development. However, recently, we do have an influx of factories coming into the state, but they are coming in by sheer necessity because the state was looking to the tax from the factories for existence. Now let us look at some other aspects of Mississippi. We know that if we are going to progress and to get away from 50th in the nation, that we must look at our educational status. Now, some years ago, I might say in 1940, the median educational level for black Mississippians was about the fourth grade, while that for white Mississippians was about ninth grade. But we are proud to say today that this has increased, and that over half of the black Mississippians today, in one respect or another, is getting a high school education. Now, many of them are recorded as high school dropouts, but because of the various FELD programs like we have had in Holmes County, for example, a private institution, junior college that we have had there, have done something about giving free adult classes. We have had a migrant project there, migrant educational project, to raise the levels of educational levels of people to about the seventh or eighth grade. And then we have had the grassroots project, such as the one that was sponsored by the university this year, to work with adults that were grammar school dropouts and high school dropouts. And these individuals have been able to go back to school and to pass the GED test. And I'm proud to say that many of them now is going to school in the evening and on Saturdays and is working towards college education. Another aspect that we know that we are going to have to improve is the health aspect. And when we say that Mississippi is on the bottom of the scale economically, when we began to look into the total picture, We find out that Mississippi is on the bottom of the scale health-wise too. We find that a very well-developed country like the United States of America, when it comes to life expectancy and health standards, we rank about 18th. And when we come into the United States, we find that Mississippi ranks on the bottom of the ladder. And when we separate the white Mississippians from the black Mississippians, we find that your chances for living, your chances for decent medical attention, if you happen to be a black Mississippian, is much less than that if you are white, is much lesser than that if you are from some other section of the nation. And realizing that this is a problem, we are making an all-out effort to try to do something to improve the health conditions of black Mississippians. We have many black Mississippians, particularly mothers of 7 and 8 children, and many of them have never been attended to by a doctor, period. And this is a general practice, and we know that these conditions must be changed. The basic cause of Mississippi's poverty is not lack of resources, but we might say it is the results of out-of-date institutions centered on racism. We feel that this is why Mississippi has refused to allow interstate to come into the state of Mississippi, because this would help black Mississippians as well as white Mississippians. And one of the things that these poor white people in Kemper County and Tate County, has kept them down, a few white people at the top have made these poor Mississippians feel that they were rich. But with the so-called crisis that we have coming up now, I think a line will be drawn, and the poor white community will see a difference between himself and the rich white community, and he will see why in many instances he have been discriminated against, just as the poor white community. Now, to mention a few of the facts that we have, why we can say that Mississippi has the natural resources. We have mentioned some time ago that we have an abundance of human resources. We have the natural climate there. We have the rich soils. We have various water streams that are necessary for interstate. The Gulf Coast, the Mississippi River, and other lakes various lakes located throughout the state of Mississippi. Why is it we cannot have furniture factories there? Because one of the things that is necessary for a furniture factory is the timber. And we find that we have an abundance of timber in Mississippi that is being cut and shipped to other states in the nation. Why is it we cannot use that timber there and build beds, dining room suites, and other things that you need to build out of timber right there? We have various mills in the state of Mississippi. Let's take, for example, one of the differences between Louisiana and the state of Mississippi is that Louisiana has been able to tap the offshore oil bases in the Gulf Coast and in the Mississippi River. We have more of the Mississippi River, and we have more of the Gulf Coast than does Louisiana. But we have failed to tap the offshore oil bases, or oil pools in the state of Mississippi. From our evaluation, we would say that Mississippi has about the same natural resources as that of Illinois, where it is 5 times as many people in Illinois live as twice as well as the few people live in Mississippi. And we are saying here that it is our objective and it is our aim in the state of Mississippi to develop there an economic stabilization program. We feel that if we could develop a rural economic stabilization program, that we could ease the burdens on the ghettos in Chicago, Illinois, and various other places. And this is one of the things that many of us is trying to tell our sisters and brothers, particularly our younger sisters and brothers in the state of Mississippi, that some people say, go west, young man, go west. Go where the pastures are greener. You're young, you have the energy, let's go. But we are preaching to them that the pastures here in Mississippi is just as green as the pastures in New York or any other place. We are telling them that our parent and our foreparent have fertilized this pasture with their sweat and blood. They have further moistened this pasture in Mississippi with sweat and blood. And all the young Mississippians have to do is to cultivate that pasture. And with a little cultivation, we are sure that that pasture in Mississippi can become just as green as any other pasture anywhere else in the nation. But because of racism, Mississippi does not even have compulsory schooling. I think if we will go back and check the records, we will find that the New England states before the turn of the century did enact and enforced a compulsory school attendance law. But we will find Mississippi after the turn of the century to be the last state in the Union to, in 1924, I think it was, to enact a compulsory school attendance law, which was never enforced. And it was in the year of 1954 or 55, immediately after the Supreme Court's decision outlawing desegregation in public schools. Again, Mississippi was not last, but she was first to abandon from the statutes of the law books of the state of Mississippi any type or form of compulsory school attendance laws. Truly, this has been a concern of many well-thinking Mississippians to get back on the law books of the state of Mississippi some type of compulsory attendance law. During my first session in the Mississippi legislature, I tried unsuccessfully, along with one other brave soldier from the Gulf Coast, to have enacted into the law books of the state of Mississippi some type of law that would require a student to attend school through high school or until he had attained the age of 16. I could not muster any support for this particular law. They said, well, we have about 30,000 children out of school. And if we would force all of those 30,000 children to go back to school, we would not have any place to educate them. We would not have any teachers to teach them. So we cannot afford to do that. Well, they say, you should have had your bill drawn up so that it would start down in one of the lower grades and increase each year. So then we went back and we drew up another bill that would require a child to attend school until he had reached the age of 14 or until he had completed eighth grade, or whichever one he would achieve first. And again, I'm very sorry to say that this bill was not even brought out of the committee and which I am a part of. It was a very interesting situation, the time in which the chairman took to call up these three education bills on the date of the funeral of the late Dr. Martin Luther King when I attended it and the other member was absent from the House for one reason or another, he called these bills up and killed them very hastily. Now, some of you might want to know what is the outlooks for such law in the state of Mississippi. But with the so-called crisis that have many of my white brothers and sisters in Mississippi is drawing their children out of the white, out of the public schools, such law is not likely to be passed this year. But again, I will be trying to get this law passed, and I will have the support of the white professionals in the state of Mississippi. That is not vocal support, but they are going to support it in their legislative proposals that they will send to the state legislature. And I will have the support of entire black Mississippi. Discrimination blocks black people's rights, and the tax system that we have in Mississippi is based upon taxing the poor. The income tax that we have is very unfair. It is geared towards taxing the medium income brackets and the poor people, and the land tax that we have is virtually no land tax at all. For example, let us take some of the rich Delta land in the state, in the Delta of Mississippi, such as the thousands of acres in which that in which Jimmy Eastland owns in Sunflower County. Some years ago, this land would have sold for $100 per acre, but this land now would sell from $5 to $6, and some of it for $700 per acre. But still, the assessed value of this land has not been changed from the time when it would sell for $100 per acre. And this is something that I do not see changing very soon without federal legislation, because it is something that the Mississippi legislature hesitates to attack. Because of the fell pressure and the voting strength gained by black people in the last 10 years, Mississippi has been making some real progress. And we feel that more progress is going to be made in the future than has been made in the past. We feel that the 66 black elected officials that we have in the state of Mississippi have given black Mississippians added courage, and it has given them added hope. And it has taught them, and they have seen factual evidence, that where black people unite and solidify their efforts, that progress can be made and things can be done. And not only will we see more black people being elected to various public positions, but we are going to see more public officials, period, elected to public office that is not only responsive to the white community, but responsive to the needs of the whole community. Because the black Mississippians are now finding out how to use their political power in order to get things done, rather than using their power as a divisive force within the black community. Within the last 12 years in the state of Mississippi, our educational statuses have been changing. We have moved from the 4, 5, and 6 months school systems per year to the 9-month school systems. We have moved away from the one little schoolhouse in the last 15 years on every plantation, if you were in the hills, in every church community. And we have moved towards a consolidation of the schools. And this has been a great help, because as most of you educators know, that where we are able to bring in our efforts, that one school system, a large school system, can do more than a series of small school systems. You can offer more beyond the basic subjects. Now, whereas our school systems have improved, but they have not improved enough. We still have an inferior school system in the state of Mississippi for black as well as white. We still have an inferior school system in the black community in Mississippi to that in the white community because we have had a type of education that has been an assumed education, that the white community has been segregated from the black community, but still they have dictated the type of education that the black community would receive. And we are hoping that with the unitary school system that we are working towards in the state of Mississippi, that there will be one education for all Mississippians. Furthermore, with Mississippi being the poorest state in the Union, it is impossible for her to afford two school systems. As our governor went on television, some of you saw him, on the 3rd of January, and I counteracted him the following Sunday that you might not have seen outside of the state of Mississippi. I'd applaud him for leading the people of the state of Mississippi to believe that we can support two school systems. He said, in so many words, we want to keep our public school system, use all restraints, but in the meantime, let us build a very strong public schools, private school system with public support. And we in the state of Mississippi, and you here in Illinois and the various other states in which you're from, cannot support two school systems. One sound school system is needed for the economic growth and economic opportunities of black people. Because I have found that in my travel and talking to various interests to come into the state of Mississippi, some of the basic questions that they are going to ask. They are going to ask about the health situations, the doctors, and then they are going to want to know about the educational programs. And we feel that if we black Mississippians is going to ever achieve the standards where we can be able to become competitive for the jobs in the state of Mississippi, as well as out of the state of Mississippi, that we are going to have one good sound system of education. Whereas we do not have anything against the private schools, but we feel that they should exist without public support. We know that with political freedom, with more education, and with funds to start on, that the grassroots black people of Mississippi can make great progress. Let me give you a few illustrations from my own county, which is one of the 10 poorest counties in the state of Mississippi. We have the Milton Olley Memorial Program for Children. And this particular program, concern, is a nonprofit organization that is operating within Holmes County and some of the surrounding counties to educate not only the children of Holmes County and surrounding counties, but to furnish educational programs for adults as well. They are operating to bring into Holmes County decent health programs where poor black people in Holmes County can have an equal opportunity for decent health protection. And they also have a Head Start program that is run and operated and controlled by local people. And it is covering all of the children of Holmes County. And we might say here virtually that this particular cooperation that is operated and controlled by grassroots people is changing the opportunities and giving people an opportunity to grow and to learn. And now let us look at another corporation that we have in Holmes County that is controlled by grassroots black people. This is the Marston Cooperative, which is the oldest black cooperative in the United States of America. This cooperative is teaching black people that they can better their conditions if they buy together the things that they need to operate their farms, that if they sell together, they can get a better market, that they can own many of the things that they need to operate their farms, that they can own gins, that they can own large earth-moving equipments to move their own land. And so we can say here that the Marston Cooperative has not only done an excellent job for the farmers of Holmes County in Mississippi, but it is teaching grassroots people that working together cooperatively, that you can better your conditions and you do not have to look to someone else. We have in Holmes County, the Holmes County Health Research Project that is operated by grassroots people and paraprofessionals. These people are doing an excellent job of finding out many of the health problems and hazards that now exist, and we will be able to go to the federal government and various foundations and say these conditions, 1, 2, 3, 4, exist here in Holmes County, and this is what should be done about it, that we have the factual evidence, and let us do something about it. And as we have mentioned here before, the Saints Junior College, which was organized and founded in Holmes County almost 40 years ago, which is not operated and controlled entirely by grassroots people, but it is operated and controlled entirely by black people, and it has served as an educational institution on the local level so far as facilities are concerned, and to be a helping hand and to tie in with these other projects here that we have mentioned. And truly, we feel that it has, so far as the resources, financial and educational and physical is concerned, that it has been a university for the county because it has opened its doors up to serve these aforementioned corporations in any ways in which they could. To do this well and rapidly, we need outside technical help, which in many cases is not only unavailable, but simply lacking in Mississippi. And we feel that it is going this technical help that we must have, must come from universities that are sympathetic with the cause, such as the University of Illinois and other universities. Now, let us take, for example, what our universities in the state of Mississippi are doing for the communities. There is a Title VI program that is fairly funded to trying to educate the community to help desegregation within the school system move smoothly. But about the only thing that these universities are doing is trying to teach a community how less you can do and still get by. And in every instance where there have been a federal-funded program in the state-supported institutions that have tried to be of service to the community, the Mississippi legislature and the executive branch of government and the judicial branch of government have forced the state universities to abandon these programs. Now let us take, for example, we had the legal services program that was operating out of the University of Mississippi. But when this legal services program became involved in various community projects, educating the black community as to their rights and responsibilities, so far as the desegregation of schools were concerned, and the University of Mississippi was forced to drop this particular organization. All public universities, black and white, in the state have a total budget of only a quarter as large as the campus of the University of Illinois. So with such a smaller budget for all of the universities, the black as well as the white, you can see that their resources are certainly limited. And it's not very much that they can do beyond the 4 hours. And we have had good help from this university, from black schools such as Meharry Medical Schools, and from groups such as the American Friends Services. And we hope we can be helped in helping ourselves. I might mention here that the American Friends Services now have into Holmes County a full-time individual to work with us in this economic stabilization program. We feel that he's going to be lots of services to us. Given this need for more skills to permit us to modernize our farms, to work better in our stores, to get jobs in interesting and health, the refusal of many white people in Mississippi to join in a sound desegregated school system is a tragedy for all Mississippians. More than that, those who oppose desegregation are also fine black teachers and making integrated school places for punishing and not educating black children. Now, we find that the general trend, I know many of you is concerned about what's happening in the state of Mississippi so far as the desegregation of schools are concerned. Now, how many black schools have popped up there now? No one in Mississippi can tell you at this time because they are coming up overnight by numbers. But if I had to guess, I would say, since the recent ruling of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, that at least 150 have opened up that have been in addition to the ones that we have already had. You might want to know where are they opening up. They're opening up in old abandoned plants, garages, barns, stores, churches, basements, and any other places in which they can find. Now, the black Mississippians feel that they are getting ostracized in the HEW plan, but we are willing to work with any meaningful desegregation plan. We are willing to work shoulder to shoulder, but we are not willing to take a back seat. We feel that unless local pressure is brought on at the local level, that many of our black children are not going to get the education that they need in the newly desegregated schools, that many of them are going to be punished for having to be black and having to be forced into the schools rather than being educated. And we find it a general trend that the blacks are being demoted, and they are completely losing their jobs. Any number of black principals have completely lost their jobs when the schools went together. And let us take for one example, in the Houston school system. This is a northern district in the state of Mississippi. All black personnel there have been made teachers' aides. And we are having to go back into the fell court to make these school, many of these school systems desegregate. because at least half of them is sending the black children up to the white school. They are still putting them into basements, our little out shops, and they are keeping the classes all segregated. Now, the white superintendents are doing this because they know that it has been the general trend of the Felcoats not to send these superintendents to jail. But in every case where we are finding this, we are asking the Felcoat to find these superintendents guilty of contempt of court. And we have the same thing that is existing there in Alva County as throughout the state of Mississippi. And where you have the whites completely running from the school system, this is where you have the whites is in a racial minority. As in Holmes County, throughout the Delta areas of Mississippi, and throughout southwest Mississippi around Fayette, and in Amite County, Franklin County, Wilkerson County, Claiborne County, and Madison County, and various counties like that. But where they are in a racial minority, they are willing to stay. But even in districts where they are in a racial majority, they are refusing to come into the black community, the former so-called black schools. They are hesitant about coming to those schools. Now, we know we cannot accept this any longer. It might seem kind of strange and harsh to say this, but I will repeat that we, the black community, is willing to work shoulder to shoulder with white Mississippians. But if white Mississippi runs from the public school system, and if for some reason the federal government do, in the future as they have done since 1954, allow a whole generation of children, both white and black, to grow up in the state of Mississippi believing that you do not have to obey the laws of the land, and they allow Mississippi to, through illegal means, through some of those 18 bills that they have introduced into the Mississippi legislature now, that will allow the state of Mississippi to give financial aid to the public schools, and all of them run from the public schools to the so-called private schools, and all of the black children be left in the public schools. We are not going to allow white Mississippians to control our educational system. That if they are going to the private schools, that they and we are going to stay in the public schools, that we are going to have to control our own system of education, and we are not going to any longer allow white Mississippians to feed us this garbage. But we are hoping that this does not happen. We are hoping that we can get together, put our shoulders together, and to move forward with one sound system of education, which is often referred to as a unitary school system. I believe, however, that we are right, and that white people will recognize this in time. I had one of my representatives to come up yesterday, one of my colleagues from in southwest Mississippi. He says, I represent Wilkerson, Amite, and Franklin County, and the racial majority there, black, is about the same as that in the white. And say, I've heard you say on the floor of the legislature many times that you're concerned about the education of all children in the state of Mississippi. And say, now the white's going to run in Mississippi. And say that the white's going to run down in my district. And say, I wonder, you know, if you will not support these bills that will allow support to the private schools so that these white children can get an education. But I told him, as I'm going to say now, that I feel within a period of 2 or 3 years that the white parent in Mississippi, not the children, will realize that we are right, and that they will come back to to the public school systems. I don't feel that they are going to be able, I don't feel that they are going to stay out there and let their children grow up ignorant. Because from the income and the per capita income of the state of Mississippi that I gave you earlier, the masses of the Mississippians, white as well as black, cannot afford to pay $40 per month for the first two children and $15 per month, as in many private school systems, for each additional child up to five, for his or her child to attend school. Because many of these white Mississippians are just as this logger from Wilkerson County is. He makes about $200 per month. And I feel without any support from the state of Mississippi and with some help from the federal government to do away and not allow these private schools to exist, that this will do much good to the school system and a sound educational system for entire Mississippi. I believe we can do much if we discuss these problems and these fears of white parents and biracial balance commissions for each district. And I am proposing to the Mississippi legislature, I have told them before, and I will tell them again, that the Mississippi legislature cannot solve this problem, because there's 173 of us here, and it's only one black man. 41% of the population of the state of Mississippi is black. It is obvious that any law that comes out of the Mississippi legislature is going to be in favor of the white population. So therefore, since the legislature cannot cope with the problem, I am proposing that we enact on the state level an educational commission that is has the composition of the racial population of the state of Mississippi. It will have a racial composition of the number of children in the state of Mississippi, which is about 50-50, and that in each school district, such said committees be set up, commissions be set up to deal with the problem. And these commissions will then determine a system of education that is conducive and healthy for each community. Because the white community cannot any longer determine it. If they do, the black community is not going to accept it. And the white community is not accepting what HEW does. So this is a way that I see to be the only hope for an immediate solution to the educational crisis in the state of Mississippi. And if they do not adhere to this, then the only hope that I see is sit and wait, let them run, and we'll wait till they come back. And as sad as it may seem, then maybe the black children in Mississippi will have an opportunity to catch up with the white children while they're staying out of school and while they're staying in private school. Because a survey of the education of the children in the private schools have been below that of the white children that remain in the public schools. Above all, I hope that the deep resolution of black Mississippians to stay in Mississippi, to build Mississippi, and to develop ourselves as a modern community is recognized. We do not have a share as yet in the government employment or in white collar work or in any other area proportional to our number. But we do seek to gain the skills and to have fair change to share in a Mississippi which can become a far better place for white and black in the future years. We do not seek reverse discrimination, for we know we are all children of one father. The basic question for the future in Mississippi as is in the ghettos of Chicago, where so many of our brothers live, is whether white America is ready to bring a reality to common constitution which we share. In Mississippi, as in the country as a whole, today's discrimination are a road to run. But in Mississippi, as in elsewhere, fair changes for our people in education and in jobs and housing and health can mean a better life for all Americans. And this is what we in Mississippi are seeking today. I thank you.